Today is the third Sunday of Advent. The scripture lessons are from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 20, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 35. Today's message is titled, Are You the One? Here from Zephaniah chapter 3, beginning of verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart. O daughter of Jerusalem, the Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows for the appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Here ends our first lesson. Our second lesson is from Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here ends our second lesson, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning of verse 18. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, Are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxuries are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of woman, there is no one greater than John. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry." For John the Baptist came neither eating bread or drinking wine, and you say, "He has a demon." The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, "Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." But wisdom is proved right by all her children. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. As it is Christmas season, online streaming services are making many, many holiday movies and holiday specials available. The other day I was watching Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour Christmas special from December 1970. And I enjoyed reminiscing of days past of a good, wholesome family entertainment of singing and comedy sketches and more singing and more comedy. Enter into the joy of singing of Jingle Bells in this comedy hour, Christmas hour. Well, it was both of those. Singing Jingle Bells, it would just bring a smile to face and laughter to your heart. Because they were singing Jingle Bells and then need more Jingle Bells, need more bells, need more bells. And more I need a doorbell, I need a cowbell. All the kinds of different bells were being brought out. As they were singing Jingle Bells, more bells, more bells. Even dumbbells were brought out. More bells. I mean, just the joy and the fun of those days past. Do you remember Christmas specials of past years, such as Perry Como's Christmas show? Or how about the Christmas specials that had the Norelco Santa riding the Norelco electric shave? Now I'm dating and aging some of you. Well, I'm doing it to myself, too. You know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Charlie Brown Christmas, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. You're a mean one, Mr. Frosty the Snowman, and Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I mean, all those favorites. I watch them year after year. Do you? And I've already watched my yearly watching of Scrooge, that musical version of A Christmas Carol. Also from 1970. You know, the one with Albert Finney as Scrooge and the future Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yes, sir, Alec Guinness as Jacob Marley's ghost. I haven't watched yet this year, but I will. It's a Wonderful Life. I'll do that soon. Have you watched that early 1990s movie, that Disney movie, The Santa Claus with Tim Allen as Scott Calvin? Have you watched that one? He enters into the Santa Claus. For me, there's joy. I mean, I have great joy in watching the movies, especially the transformation, or as the movie says it, the sanctification process happening. The makeup, it's fantastic. Movie, it's enjoyable. It did so well at the box office a few years later. You probably saw it, The Santa Claus 2. I mean, it came out and it was just as enjoyable as the first. I'm not going to talk about Santa Claus 3. That was not quite as good with Martin Short. But the first and second one, they're quite joyous. But spoiler alert, in Santa Claus 2, there is the de-sanctification process occurring. And one part I really liked about Santa Claus too, that boring faculty Christmas party. I mean, it was boring as boring. You've been to boring parties like that. Boring as boring as can be, until joy filled the place as the secret Santa toys were given. Yes, classic toys of years past, as secret Santa presents that Scott Calvin provided, and it cost him the last of his remaining Christmas magic. Perhaps you remember the toys. Did you see the movie? Remember the toys? Toss Across, Hands Down, Hungry Hippo, Electric Football, Viewmaster, Easy Bake Oven. And I just don't remember. Maybe some of you remembered. What are those wiggly jiggly things? You know, you took that goo and you squeezed into those metal plates shaped like spiders and worms and all that. And you put it in the boys' version of an Easy Bake Oven and you took it out and ate those jiggly things. Do you remember what that was called? I don't remember what it was. But what chemicals did we put in ourselves playing with that? But I mean, all the fun of Christmas past. And how about the SSPs? Do you remember SSPs with those zip cords of speed and all that? Ah, oh, the fun. SSP, Demolition Derby, the ones they jump off, crash, then parts flying. Now, when I was a kid, we were at Grace Lutheran. Oh, the joy. I mean, the joy of childhood toys and the memories. At Grace Lutheran in Bowie, Maryland, my dad was the organist, and he would go over to practice. And I would come along, and I'd bring the SSPs. Those cars, and the worship space was also the fellowship hall, so it was at the early 70s, was all folding chairs. And oftentimes all the chairs would be up, and I'd have a huge giant floor, zip, and just send that SSP flying across. Oh, such joy! You remember the joy of childhood toys. Now, in both Santa Claus movies, there's scenes when children are coming up to Scott Calvin. And they want to tell him their Christmas wish list, their Christmas toy wish list. The kids knew he was Santa Claus. It was the adults who had a hard time believing, particularly Neil Miller, the psychologist, played by Judge Reinhold. He just refused to be pulled into delusion. The children knew Scott Calvin was Santa Claus. The adults, such as Principal Newman, refused to believe. Just would not believe he was the one. The ordinary people believed. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they would not believe he is the one. John sends his disciples to ask a question, to ask Jesus a question. We read of it in Luke chapter 7, beginning of verse 18. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else?" Now, there are volumes written about the possible reasons John sent the disciples with the questions. Most likely thousands of PhD dissertations with a slightly different take on the situation. But I'm not going to delve into them or put forward various perspectives as to why John sent the disciples to ask the question. For me, the why is not as much as important as the way Jesus answers the question. Yes, the way Jesus answers the question. First, the question, Luke chapter 7, verse 20. When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else?'" The New American Standard 1995 version has Luke 7:20 as this. It captures the question a little better. When the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the expected one? Or should we look for someone else?'" Expected one carries the emotion of the question. It literally means the coming one, Jesus. Are you the coming one, or are we to look for another? Are you the expected one? The one all Israel was looking for? The New Living Bible brings this expectation out a little more clearly. Luke chapter 7, verse 19 of the New Living Bible. "And he sent them to the Lord to ask, 'Are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we look for someone else?'" Are you the Messiah? Are you the Messiah? The Greek does not have Messiah. The Greek does not have Christ there. But the meaning of the inquiry, Are you the coming one? Are you the expected one? Is, are you that promised anointed one? The Messiah, the Christ. Are you the one? Luke chapter 7, verse 17. Before today's reading, has this info for us. Luke 7, verse 17. The news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding county. In other words, reports of Jesus' doings was spreading near and far. Far just before these scenes. For just before that thing about news spreading far, this starts a little bit earlier in Luke chapter 7. Reports of Jesus approaching the town of Nain. He comes near. And from the town of Nain comes a funeral procession. As Jesus approaches the town's gate, a dead person was being carried out. The only son of a widow was being carried out to be buried with the widow. A large crowd came along from the town with weeping and mourning filling the air. Listen to Jesus' response. It's written in Luke chapter 7, verse 13. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, "Don't cry." Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion that flows from the deepest inside, innermost place of a person. This is the nature, this is the character of our God. Moved with compassion for us, for this widow wailing as she's walking with a funeral procession for her son. Jesus approaches the bier and the men carrying it stops. Jesus then said to the young man, that dead boy on the bier, the only son of the widow. Jesus says to the boy, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Young man, to you I say, arise. Young man. He said it just once, but really let these words sink in. Young man, I say, wake up. Compassion of our God. That is the nature, that is the character of our God. In action, for he said to the mother, "Don't weep," just a moment ago. Her deep, uncontrollable anguish moved Jesus to compassion. And at the words of Jesus, "Young man, I say, arise." At those words, the dead boy rises up. The dead boy sits up and he starts speaking again. I mean, the people, it says in the scripture, the people were filled with awe. But how can you put into words this incredible moment? I mean, it's more credible than I've never seen anything like it of Dr. Doolittle's Push Me, Pull You. The news was spreading all through the region, and the news reached John such that John sent his disciples with the question. Now with that smidge of background, focus on the manner Jesus answered the question. That question, are you the coming one or do we wait another? What appears to take place there in Luke is that Jesus doesn't answer the question right away. Instead, Jesus continues doing what he has been doing, healing and preaching. It's written in Luke chapter 7, verse 21. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. They asked the question, and at that very time, Jesus is healing diseases, sickness, casting out evil spirits, and giving sight to the blind. Look and see, the answer to the question is found in his doing. First, their eyes will see the answer to their question. See the reality of what is happening. Then Jesus answers with words. It's written in Luke chapter 7, verse 22. So he, that is Jesus, he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. When Jesus answers with words, the words Jesus uses are the words of Holy Scripture. Did you notice that? Were you aware the words, these words of Jesus' answer are Holy Scripture? Jesus answers with words from Isaiah chapter 35 and with words from Isaiah chapter 61. Both passages long know to be speaking of the Messiah, the expected one, the one who was to come, the promised one. That's how Jesus answers the question. Isaiah chapter 35, Isaiah 61, passages about the Messiah. Are you the expected one? What are the signs of the expected one from the Holy Scripture? And Jesus references too. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 35, beginning at verse 5. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Then from Isaiah chapter 61, beginning at verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Now wait, we've heard those same words before in the Gospel of Luke. Isaiah 61, we've heard those same words. Do you remember when we heard those exact same words from Isaiah 61 in the Gospel of Luke? It's all the way back in chapter 4 of Luke. After his baptism and Jesus tempting in the wilderness by the devil, Jesus returns to Nazareth. On the Sabbath, Jesus went to the synagogue as was his custom. He was on the Sabbath, he was in the synagogue. And he stood to read, and the scroll of Isaiah was handed to him. And Jesus unrolled the scroll to the place where these words were written nearly 700 years or more earlier. Luke chapter 4, verse starting at verse 17. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. That's Jesus. Handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Fulfilled. It means that the words written over 700 years earlier are now brought to completion. In that moment, the same scripture to the two disciples of John Jesus gave. He said the same scripture to them. What have your eyes seen? What have you heard? The answer to your question is before your eyes. The Holy Scriptures are being fulfilled. The promise being accomplished. After John's disciples leave, to tie things together even more, Jesus then speaks of John to the crowd. Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 26. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. From the book of Malachi. Jesus himself, the Lord Jesus, confirms John is the promised messenger sent to prepare the way. The way preparer has come. The expected one has come. The evidence is right there before your eyes. Right before your eyes, you are seeing the scriptures being fulfilled. Right there is the proof in the pudding. Jesus' very actions shout, the Savior has come. Jesus' deeds demonstrate the Holy Scriptures are full of truth and are being fulfilled. Do you remember when the crucified and risen Christ, Jesus, was walking with the men on the road to Emmaus? Do you remember their conversation? Do you remember what Jesus said to the two despondent men as they're kicking the dust? Well, what happened in Jerusalem? Those things? What things? This is what Jesus then says to them. It's written in Luke chapter 24, beginning of verse 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Leave the why of John sending the disciples to ask the question, "Are you the one who was to come?" to the PhD dissertations, and focus on what is tremendously and truly important. Focus on Jesus' answer. Jesus' answer is the eye-opener that the scriptures concerning himself are being fulfilled. Scripture fulfilled. That's the focus of the answer, and it's also the focus and foundation that you can place the faith in you upon. Such that joy can be yours all the time, no matter what circumstances. Just as it's written in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will again say rejoice." Always rejoice. Rejoice always. Always means always. As Zephaniah shows, "Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." Why rejoice and be glad all your heart? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." Such great news of great joy. Spoiler alert. Eventually, Neo came around, and Principal Newman too, came around to see Scott Calvin is Santa. They came to see what the children already saw. But those are just movies. Really enjoyable movies, but just movies. Real life. Real history. Jesus fulfills all that was written about him in the Holy Scriptures. Jesus is the expected one. You don't have to look for another. Jesus is the expected one to come. He is the anointed one. He is Messiah. He is Christ. He is crucified and risen. He is Lord. He is your God. So rejoice, be filled with joy. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, your Redeemer, your Savior, your Lord. Amen and amen.